Wisdom is the ability to discern what is right. But listen, if it is not right from God's perspective, it's not really wisdom. The society may say it's right, but if God says it's not right, it's not wisdom.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will finish his Father's Day message in which he takes principles from Scripture, picturing the fatherhood of God that, if embraced and practiced by committed human fathers, can bring dramatic and life-healing change to their children and even change their impact on the wider community. So we invite you to follow along in the Scriptures with us as we listen to Pastor Grant's concluding remarks in his message, How to Prepare Your Children to Fly. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Listen, we can help our children to fly by preparing them for being the spiritual leader in our home, but second, by nurturing them. And third, preparing them to fly by disciplining them appropriately. Put back on the screen, if you would, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, in the King James Version. And it says there, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the word admonition there is the word discipline. We must nurture, Dad, we must nurture, but we must also discipline. Sadly, the word discipline has become taboo in our society because some parents have used discipline as an excuse for abuse. But my brothers and sisters, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because some parents will use discipline as abuse, if you decide you are not going to discipline and follow the modern trend, you are going to hurt your child. Because God, the God of all wisdom, here's what he says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24. Here's what he says. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Listen, if your child is insistent on heading down a harmful path, the most loving thing you could do for your child is to correct them with appropriate discipline. You notice what the Bible says? He says, if you don't discipline, that child is heading in the wrong path, and you don't discipline him. That is the exact opposite of what you should be doing if you truly loved the child. Now make sure, don't ever abuse your children, but learn to discipline them appropriately. I'm not going to dig into what that means this morning because that's a subject for itself, and perhaps we'll come back to that another time as to how to discipline your children appropriately. But what I have done is to insert in your notes two websites from Focus on the Family, two URLs that I encourage you to pull up and learn how to discipline your children appropriately. And you'll find out that when you go on one, it will continue leading you to other places, but may God help you to take advantage of what they're saying. Listen, our society has thrown out discipline. But if I were to take a survey this morning, don't raise your hand. I am convinced that getting rid of discipline has not helped. When I used to go to the mall, I would see these poor parents. They didn't even know how to handle the poor child. I'm like, the parent better take it. The parent has to take it. The parents are afraid of their children now. Do you know a lot of parents are literally afraid of their children? Oh, yet people have come to me to ask for help because they are afraid of their children. God's way is the best. God's way is the best. And young people, fathers, there is no better way than God's way. Let's move on to point number four. We can prepare them to fly by teaching them to pursue wisdom. We can teach them to fly by teaching them to pursue wisdom. We're off again in Proverbs chapter 4. Let's go back to Proverbs. And we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4 this time. And here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 as I read to you from verses 1 to verse 7. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. The writer says, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my ways, my words. Keep my commandments and live. And here's what he said he was told. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her. She will keep you. Wisdom is what? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. You see, parents often encourage their children to pursue knowledge. And to pursue knowledge, which is the acquiring of information. We encourage them to pursue knowledge, and we do our best to get them into the best universities. And I'm not knocking, encouraging them to get knowledge. But the Bible tells us the principal thing is not knowledge. The principal thing is wisdom. You see, knowledge may teach that child how to use a gun. And our city and our cities in this country are filled with young people who have the knowledge of how to use a gun, but lack the wisdom of knowing when to use the gun and when to put the gun in its holster. Wisdom is the principal thing. So what is wisdom? Write this down. Wisdom is the ability to discern what is right from God's perspective. Oh, when I was writing that down, I was going to leave off the second part because you might say, oh, if I put God's perspective, then this is only for the Christian. But then I looked at it again. You see, the dictionary will tell you wisdom is the ability to discern what is right. But listen, if it is not right from God's perspective, it's not really wisdom. Just think of that. If God, the society may say it's right, but if God says it's not right, it's not wisdom. So you better leave that right there. Wisdom is the ability to discern what is right from God's perspective. And understanding is the ability to discern a situation in order to apply wisdom. I need to be able to understand what's going on so I can bring God's wisdom to bear. I can know what God would say is right in this particular context. And so today in this information age, our kids' heads are filled with knowledge. They know probably more about sex and about drugs than you and I do. But they don't have the wisdom to discern what is right. And daddy, are you listening to me, daddy? Daddy, it's one of the things that I need to be teaching my kids and you need to be teaching your children is how to pursue wisdom. So before I move on, let me leave you with just three keys Three important steps to success, if you would. How can I teach them? Oh, this could be a message on its own. But let me just leave you with these three steps here. How do I teach my children to pursue wisdom? Number one, teach them to fear the Lord. Jump over to Proverbs chapter 9, if you would. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. Here's what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord, wisdom begins. He said, this is the beginning. Wisdom begins when I start fearing the Lord. I need to raise my kids to fear the Lord. Oh, I need to have a holy reverence for God. The kids need to have a holy reverence for God to know who is God. This is the Almighty God. Listen, don't. But the word fearing here, not only it means in this instance to have this holy reverence for God, but it also means to have a reverential trust in the Lord. I want my kids to grow up realizing the Almighty God is something I must hold in awe. But I need to raise them to realize that this almighty, omnipotent God is one. I must have a reverential trust in him. Teach them to fear the Lord. But secondly, teach them to ask God for wisdom. And we well know that verse in James chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Listen, God says, if you lack wisdom, come and ask. Teach them to ask God for wisdom. Raise your children so that they on their own, sometimes they're not sure what to do. Let them know. You go to God and you ask him, God, I don't know what to do. Would you show me what to do? Will you give me your wisdom? Teach them to ask God. But third, teach them to study God's word. Teach them to study God's word. Teach them from young, you know. Here's what it says in Psalms 19. Psalms 19 and verse number 7. Psalm 19, 7. And here's what Psalm 19, 7 tells us. Psalm 19, number 7. The law of the law. And you know that word is talking about the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, another word for the word of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making what? Making wise the simple. Wow. You want, listen, dad, mom, you want wisdom? Start studying God's word. As the more we spend time in God's word, the more we will grow in wisdom. The Bible is telling us this word will make wise the simple. The simple will get wise. We will get to understand what is right from God's perspective as we spend time in this word. I pray, Dad, you will not only help your kids to fly, prepare them to fly by your spiritual leadership and by nurturing them and by disciplining them appropriately and by teaching them to pursue wisdom. But finally, I trust by God's grace, you will help prepare them to fly by modeling a life of faith. Modeling a life of faith. You know, last Sunday, CBS News reported that suicide in the age 10 to 34 age range has gone up 34% in the last 2 years. I believe part of the reason why this is happening at these younger ages, because it's not because they're sick and they have some medical crisis. I believe part of the reason why this is happening is because young people were not raised and given the tools as to how to cope when the bottom falls out. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are instances that there are real medical issues involved. But there are instances where some of this is because they don't know what to do when the bottom falls out. And so I'm just going to leave you and suggest to you that we teach our children who to turn to when they face life's storms by modeling a life of faith. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. I notice this is not in your notes, so you can add it to your notes. The scripture was forgotten. But Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm just going to read a few verses beginning at verse 21. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Verse 21, here's what it says. You know, many of us know this story about Jairus. Now, when Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged Jesus earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And some of you know what happened as they were on the way to Jairus' house. Jesus came along, met this lady with the issue of blood, you remember? And the procession stopped. And poor Jairus, you can just imagine how anxious he must have been, because he has this emergency at home. His daughter is at the point of death, and Jesus has stopped. By the way, Jesus knew his daughter was at the point of death, but Jesus stopped anyhow. Jesus was going to do something that resonated then, and I believe is going to resonate in somebody's heart this morning. Because here's what happened, verse number 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Somebody came from Jairus' house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard it, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but is sleeping." And he laughed at him when he put them all outside. By the way, this is a freebie. Sometimes you need to get rid of the faithless people. Did you hear me? Sometimes we surround our people, our lives with all these people who have no faith. They have no confidence in God. Some of them, they're not even saved. Some of them are weak Christians. And we surround ourselves with all these faithless people. And we're looking to God to work. You notice what he did? He got rid of all them faithless people. He put them out. And he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately, the little girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. Jairus had hit bottom, for his daughter was now dead. But although everyone thought the situation was hopeless, Jairus was still trusting in Jesus, for he believed what? Jesus, help me with this. Jesus could do the impossible. Oh, somebody here this morning is facing an impossible situation. Don't shout out and tell us what your situation is. But somebody here this morning is facing an impossible situation. There's a situation in your family that seems impossible. It seems that there is no hope. But thank God that we know a God who can do the Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I could tell you a testimony or two, but I won't tell you this morning. But we have a God who can do the impossible. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 tells us that he's able to do exceedingly. You all know I love this verse. I quote it often. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. By now, yes, you know this one. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Hallelujah. And this morning, God is here. You may not even be a father. You may not be a mother. It doesn't matter your situation, because this message is for all of us, because somebody here this morning needs to hear this message about a God who can do the impossible. When everybody says it's impossible, that God says, no, nothing is impossible with me. And I want to encourage you, my brother and my sister, hold on a little longer. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to my Jesus. Jairus modeled faith. And just imagine, can you imagine? I've never thought of it this way before. But can you imagine how his daughter felt when she woke up and heard she was dead? She was only alive because of her father's faith. Oh, you said, Pastor, it was the Lord Jesus. Yes, it was. But Jesus worked because of her dad's faith. Can you hold on to Jesus like that? Well, I wish we had time for some testimonies this morning, because I know I'm looking at some folks with some testimonies about the God doing the impossible. Are you willing to hold on to this God who can do the impossible? Somebody here may be on the brink of quitting. You're just about to give up. You're throwing in the towel. And my God says, I can do the impossible. But oh, I just want to make this point to my dads and to my moms. Can you imagine if you, mom, you, dad, were this model of faith? What an impact it would have on your children's life to see a mom, a parent who was a model of faith in the God of the impossible. I had a dad and a mom like that. And I thank God. They modeled for us that you can trust God when the winds are blowing hard. You can keep holding on to God, because our God is a God who can do the impossible. And this morning, God is calling on some parent, perhaps a dad, perhaps a mom, a parent who, if you're honest, if your child was asked, is my dad, is my mom a person of great faith? That child would say, no, I'm not sure they are. And this morning, God is challenging you. It's time for a change. It's time to come draw closer to Jesus. It's time to start trusting Jesus more. It's time to become more committed to the cause of Christ. It's time to start showing up more regularly. It's time to start teaching the Word of God. It's time to change. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to make a recommitment to God, Father, Mother, whoever you are. Make a recommitment. God, I have heard your word. I can do better. But finally, my heart bleeds for that person who still hasn't started the journey of faith. You haven't even started. You're here this morning, and if you're honest, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You've never received him in the pardon of your sins. You've never admitted to him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'm so glad that you, Lord Jesus, you died for my sin, and today I am going to begin this journey of faith. Because if you're a dad, he's going to help you. You say, my children are all grown. Listen, he can bring some revolution in your children's life, even though they're already saved. And right now, my friend, as we bring this message to a close, I'm going to ask you to come to Jesus because he wants to do something special in your heart.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.